morning. Love never fails. Amen? Amen. Wow. There's a lot of things that fail in life, but the love of God never, ever, ever fails. So good. It's so good to be with all of you today. Thank you for coming out this morning. Thank you for joining on a live stream. Whether you're even listening to this later, thank you for being here. I'm just trusting that God has something for each one of us today. And it might not be anything that I say. It might be something that happened while we worshiped in song. It might be a conversation you already had or one that you're going to have later. God has something for you today. So let's just pray that we are awake to him and what he wants to speak to us today. God, thank you that your love never fails. Thank you that your goodness runs after us all of our life. Even in the hard things, God, your love and your goodness is pursuing us, and we thank you. God, today as we are here in this space, we just ask you to awaken us. Open our hearts, God, to what it is that you want to speak to us, to show us, to form in us today, God. We just take a deep breath, God, and say in our hearts, I open myself to you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. So here at East Petersburg Mennonite Church, our mission, you can say it with me if you know it. Our mission is to be a growing church community that is learning to live and love like Jesus. This identifies who we are, and it is meant to shape all that we do. Our values of worship and community and mission set a framework for how we do life together as a faith community. But this brings us to a question. What does it look like to walk this out? So last week, we began a series called Committed. And this series is about looking at this. What does it look like to live this out? So we're going to be exploring three areas of focus that help us to live into our mission, stay connected to our values. This is an invitation for us to commit not just to something, but to someone. This is about committing ourselves to God, to people, to each other. These commitments are not an end-all in themselves. It's not everything of what it means to walk with God and to live out our mission. But they are what we are sensing as leaders that the Holy Spirit is highlighting in this chapter of our story. And that these are some areas that we want to give attention to as we are in this latter part of 2021 and as we move into 2022 next year. Last week, Jonathan and Tracy shared about living our everyday lives on mission. They invited us to look at what it means to not trample on the great commandment, which is what we are going to be talking about today, as we're trying to live out the Great Commission to go and make disciples of Jesus. They encouraged us to live a life surrendered to God, because discipleship is not something that we go and do. Discipleship is something that we are already doing. Disciple making happens in every moment of our days, whether we are aware of it or we are not. How we respond and engage with others has an impact. As followers of Jesus, we want that impact to be in alignment with the kingdom of God. And so this requires living a life connected to Jesus. And so they ask us to consider this. Who and what is discipling you? And who are you discipling? And then they invited each one of us to step into our callings, that place where what brings us deep gladness meets the deep hunger in the world. And we need to keep learning what it means to live everyday life on mission as we step into our callings and live into the Great Commission. Next week, Keith Blank is going to be leading us in, Keith is our overseer. He's going to be bringing a message on living in a life of delight with God. I can't get this to work now. Ashish, do you mind flipping it for me? Thank you. We're also going to be sharing in communion together next Sunday, so I hope that you can be here for that time. I'm really looking forward to what Keith is going to be bringing in this message, because the deep communion and connection with God is what provides the resource for us to live every day life on mission. Communion with God, living loved, is what fuels and equips us to live into emotionally healthy relationships. And this is the place that we are going to focus in today. Living into emotionally healthy relationships. When Jesus was asked by an expert in the religious law, he said, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And we see Jesus' response in Matthew 22. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Jesus was stating what was made clear by God about what was most important. These words that Jesus spoke about loving God with all of our heart, soul, and mind were from the Old Testament scriptures. And so the expert in the law who was asking this question would have been very familiar with these words. These words were a daily prayer in ancient Israelite tradition called the Shema. The Shema gets its name from the first Hebrew word of the prayer in Deuteronomy 6:4, the word hear or listen. So it would say, "Shema, O Israel, the Lord is our God and the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." This prayer was prayed in the morning and in the evening, and it became one of the most influential traditions in Jewish history. The expert in the law that was asking Jesus this question, which I will note he was asking to test Jesus, not really out of curiosity. This expert would have been very familiar with how Jesus responded. But then Jesus highlights another commandment when he says, "The second is like it." And this is also from the Old Testament scriptures, from Leviticus 19. He says, "Love your neighbor as yourself." While this also would have been familiar teaching to the expert in the law, Jesus emphasized the importance put on relationships with people. He went as far to say that all the laws, and there were many, and all the teachings of the prophets hang on these two commandments, loving God and loving people. Loving God and loving people are inseparable from each other. But what can happen too easily for us when we slip into religion rather than relationship is that we could find ourselves going through the motions of what we should do as Christians. We might take time to worship God, to pray, to study the scriptures. We might be involved in fruitful ministries that are making a significant difference in the world. We might receive words of knowledge and we might prophesy. We could have all kinds of things going on that seem to indicate that we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But if we find that in our relationships, in our conversations, we are defensive and blaming and judgmental, dishonoring, self-absorbed, and dishonest, we might want to take another look at our spirituality. If we live in the brokenness of isolation, low self-awareness, continual anger, and constant fear, a disregard for the poor and the downtrodden, it's time for us to take a deeper look. What Jesus is saying in Matthew 22 was that all of life with God and with people is for love. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13 that essentially love is the true measure of our maturity in Christ. He said, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give my body to hardship that I may boast, but I don't have love, I gain nothing. In Galatians, Paul says this, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Jesus was very intentional about linking these two commands together. We might be growing in our love for God, but if this is not translating into our relationships with people, we need to do some examination. Over 10 years ago, I read Pete Scazzaro's book called The Emotionally Healthy Church, and I was captivated by what I learned from that book. It resonated so much with what I was longing for in my relationship with God and with people. Pete and his wife Jerry's story about how God transformed their life over 20 years ago when they reached a real crisis in their marriage and in leading their church had a big impact on me. Pete and Jerry were church planters, where Pete became the lead pastor at New Life Fellowship in Queens, New York, a fast-growing congregation, multi-ethnic group. There was just so much good that was happening. Pete and Jerry had such a passion for sharing Christ with the world. They were doing all kinds of things they knew to do in discipleship, but their marriage was suffering. There were lots of unresolved conflicts in their relationships, in their church family. And they found themselves pretending that things were fine because they were more concerned about being nice. And what they found was that their commitment to a personal relationship with Jesus and to spiritual disciplines did not automatically equip them to actually love like Jesus. Most discipleship approaches did not include the necessary tools to mature us as followers of Jesus Christ who love God, ourselves, and others well. They began to see in their church and in themselves that it was easy to grow physically and to chronological adult, and it's quite another thing to grow into an emotional adult. Many people may be chronologically a young adult or middle-aged or older, but remain emotionally an infant or a child or adolescent. And this has profound effects on our relationships. So they began to do some intensive work to bring healing in their marriage. They actually were part of Phil Haven's Recovery of Hope program, if any of you are familiar with that. And this started them off on a new journey in their discipleship, where God began developing in them emotionally healthy spirituality and relationships. Their life work over the past 20 years shaped a course that they developed called the Emotionally Healthy Discipleship Course, which is training in emotionally healthy spirituality and emotionally healthy relationships. So earlier this year, as a congregation, we spent some time in our Beneath the Surface series learning more about emotionally healthy spirituality. And as we worked together as a development team in preparing for this series about specific areas that God is inviting us to get more intentional about, growing in emotionally healthy relationships is something that we sensed is really important for us to get focused on as a congregation. So I was really excited that we were going to start talking about this more as a church. I led the Emotionally Healthy Relationships course in my home with some of you from this congregation, and I loved the teaching, and I loved the skills that I was learning. It was making a difference in my relationships, and I have known for months that I was going to have the opportunity to preach this message today on this. So I had a long time to be preparing for sharing this morning. But every time that I thought about sitting down and getting some things written down or just getting quiet and listening to God about it, I would find something else to do. Now, granted, it's a really full season in my life, so there usually is something else to do, but I knew that there was something more going on. So finally, last weekend, I sat down and I just got real with God about it. I recognized my desire to grow into emotionally healthy relationships. I want to love my neighbor as myself, and I want my friends in this church and elsewhere to grow in this too. And so what's going on? Like, why am I resisting this? And this is the thought that came into my mind. It's just easier to be mean. It's just easier to be mean. Now, I don't really consider myself to be generally a mean-spirited person. So this phrase really grabbed my attention. And as I pondered it more and talked with some friends about it, I started realizing that the impact that the past number of years of more intense political divide in our country, which has impacted us tremendously in the church, the collective trauma that the whole world is going through in the midst of a pandemic, and other personal things that were going on for me, this was putting my relationships to a test. As I listen to the news and read comments on social media and have conversations with people, all the things that I have been wanting to grow in, to live into emotionally healthy relationships, have become much more difficult. It's more difficult to love my neighbor as myself right now. My desire to stop making assumptions about what people are thinking, to listen really well to others, to ask clarifying questions, to be okay with conflict, and to disagree in a way that does not dishonor the other person, to be fully honest and not just be nice, to say what I mean in love, to be attentive to unhealthy generational patterns in my life that are impacting me, to stop living my life to please others, to quit over-functioning, which is so detrimental to myself and to other people. All these things became more difficult recently. And so it can just be easier to be mean. It's easier to be selfish, self-centered, self-comforting, self-absorbed than to love my neighbor, than to love my family, my friends, my coworkers, my enemies. It just feels easier to not be loving, to not live into emotional health in relationships. And it's especially easier when I mask it with some kind of righteousness on my part. Like, I really know the way, like my perspective and my opinion and my plan and my assumptions and my speculations are the right ones. It can be easier to withdraw from people and not think of them as my neighbor anymore. But here's the thing. Deep inside, I know that life with Jesus and learning to live and love like him brings me freedom and abundant life. I know this. And so I want to stay connected to him and walk in his ways, even when it's difficult. Jesus wasn't just saying nice things about loving God and loving people. He really meant it. It's how he lived his life on earth, and it's what he is calling us to as his followers. In his final day before his crucifixion, where he would lay down his life for the whole world so that we could live in this loving relationship with God, he had a meal with his disciples. And in the book of John, we can read about the conversations that were happening around that Last Supper table. And at one point, Jesus says this: "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Isn't it interesting that Jesus didn't say, "Believe all the right things about me and about life, and everyone will know that you're my disciples"? He didn't say, "Have all the right answers to all the moral questions of the day, and everyone will know that you are my disciples." He didn't say, "Pray 3 times a day, read your Bible for 15 minutes, and volunteer at a nonprofit. Then people will know you are my disciples." Those things are good things, but that's not what he said. And he certainly didn't say, "Don't ever make any mistakes so that everyone will know that you're my disciples." No, what he said was, "Love one another." This is where the rubber meets the road when it comes to being a follower of Jesus. And this love he is talking about is not fluffy, feel good all the time kind of love. It's not be nice and never make anyone upset kind of love. And neither is it do and say whatever you want kind of love. And it's not a love that shows up when it's only convenient and easy. The love that Jesus is talking about here is agape love. This is one of the Greek words for love, and this is the one that is most described when Jesus is talking, and it is what he is saying here when he says love one another. It's a love that can feel so fulfilling in the deepest of ways, but it is not based on how we feel in the moment. Agape love is a love that treats our neighbor justly, in a manner you might treat someone who you do actually have feelings of love for. This love treats others in a way that we would want to be treated. So this kind of love is not so much a matter of feeling, but of practice. Agape love invites us to take the more difficult path rather than the easy path. Jesus draws us into living and loving like he did, a sacrificial love that goes beyond what might come naturally to us. To live more fully into this love, we need to learn some practical skills to live into emotionally healthy relationships. And we can't just learn about them. We need to actually practice them. In 2022, we are making plans to offer the Emotionally Healthy Relationships course here at EPMC as one way for us to be intentional about learning and practicing some emotionally healthy relationship skills. Skills like stop trying to read other people's minds and clarify expectations. Listening incarnationally. Living in integrity with ourselves and with others. And about clean fighting. There is such a thing. Not only do we need the skills for emotionally healthy relationships, we need a deep, ongoing relationship with God to be empowered to live into emotionally healthy relationships. It's not something that we can just decide to do in our own strength. It is going to require us to surrender, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, to relate to people in a way that is so countercultural, especially right now. Emotionally healthy relationships are marked by approachability, high self-awareness, non-reactivity, taking responsibility, delight, courage, freedom, and honesty. So a good place for us to start is to stop and take a look at our relationships. So I would just invite you now just to close your eyes and to think about one relationship in your life. Take notice of how you respond when you don't agree with them. When things aren't going your way, what happens inside you? How do you respond to them? Do you say yes when you really want to say no, but then inside you're actually bitter? Can you be honest when they ask you what you think or feel? Or do you try to share something that will create as little conflict as possible, even if it's not the truth? Do you find yourself withdrawing from people because it's just easier to live isolated? Are you able to listen well to people when they are sharing a perspective that is different than yours? Are you listening with curiosity about their perspective, or do you find yourself judging them and thinking about your counter-argument while they are still talking? God, we ask you to help us notice in a new way how it's going in our relationships. Holy Spirit, we invite you to prompt us, to help us notice when we are not really loving our neighbor as ourselves. God, I thank you that in you there is no shame. And so when you begin to nudge us, when we're in a conversation, in a relationship about something that we are doing, whether we're saying it, whether we're thinking it, that is not in alignment with you, help us to notice it and then spend time with you with it, asking, how can you shape this and train me to be more like you, Jesus? Thank you so much, God, that you have not asked us to walk a path that you have not walked yourself. Thank you that you never stop growing us up in you, that all of our days we have an opportunity to be shaped and formed by you. I thank you for this faith community that has taught me so much about what it means to love one another. And I pray that for each one of us, we would go deeper in our love for one another, that we would continue to grow, to learn. We need you, Jesus. We need you. Amen.